Well, for years we've been told to eat a low-fat diet, but why? Why, I ask? As a nation, are we all getting fatter and fatter? Coincidence? I think not. Let's seek the help of Dr. Joe Kosterich, who's with us now. G'day, Dr. Joe.
Hi, Ed.
Gosh, this is the greatest disaster of our time. Everybody thinking we're doing the right thing by eating low-fat stuff, low-fat, but it's not the way to actually lose weight, is it?
Your introduction was, I'm not a big fan of sort of overplaying things or overstating things, but in actual fact, there's a lot of criticisms of fad diets and different ways of eating, and I think that's, you know, quite justifiable. But the low-fat diet has actually probably been the worst fad imposed upon humans because it's been so widely adopted by so many people over such a length of time, and it's completely at variance with what human beings ate for pretty much all of human history up until the late 70s, early 80s. And there's a fascinating graph in a book called The Big Fat Surprise by Nina Teicholz, who's an American investigative journalist. And it shows rates of obesity in the United States. And you could substitute Australia or the UK or a whole lot of other countries. And it's a relatively flat line until you get to the early 1980s. And then there is this incline. And on this graph, there's a little arrow pointing down, which shows that that is coinciding with the introduction of low-fat dietary guidelines.
Uh-huh.
And you'll hear, and when you see it starkly like that, it really does obviously leap out the page at you. But then you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, the problem is the public don't follow the advice that we've given them. And you'll hear that bemoan from people in public health and various medical authorities. But again, it's harder to get Australian figures than to get, it's easier to get American figures. Since the early 80s, consumption of fruit has gone up in America 35%, veggies by 20%, eggs down 13%, and red meat down by 28%, and that's sales figures. So what that is saying is that people have actually followed the guidelines. Maybe not to the letter, but pretty much to it. We didn't have low-fat foods before the late 1970s, so people have adopted this. Now, this relatively new study came out a month or so back called the PURE study. Followed 135,000 people. So, you know, it's a lot of people
that is,
in 18 countries over a seven-year period. And it's what was called a prospective study, which means that they started at a point and observed these people going forward. So a lot of studies are retrospective. So you look at what's happened in the past. You look at, say, what happened between 2002 and 2009. You go and ask people, you know, you get records. But a prospective study means you started from, you know, ground zero.
Yep.
And over that time in all these countries, what they found was that a higher-fat diet was associated with lower all-cause mortality, lower rates of heart disease, and lower rates of stroke, whereas a higher-carbohydrate diet, or the typical low-fat-type diet that has been advised for the last 35 to 40 years, was actually the opposite. So they found the opposite of what might have been expected. Now, of course, studies like this rock conventional thinking.
Yes.
So you find that they don't get a lot of publicity. But if you dig down a little bit further, 2 years ago in the British Medical Journal, some other authors did a review of the original guideline recommendation, and they basically found that there had never been, and this was, you know, their words, not mine, there'd never been any rigorous studies or any rigorous science behind the introduction of low-fat guidelines.
What?
I know. It's really quite, it borders on scary. And all of this stuff is hiding in full view. People can go on to, it's on the BMJ Open. They don't even need a subscription, BMJ, the British Medical Journal.
Right.
So all of this information is hiding, if you like, in full view. It's one of the good things about the internet is, you know, there is stuff out there. Not all of it's credible. But, you know, this stuff is out there.
Well, British Medical Journal's no Wikipedia, let's be honest. You've got to have some grains of truth. Yep.
No, it's not a, you know, people can't say it's a fringe, you know, wacko science. And another big study called the Women's Health Initiative, which has been a long-running study in the United States, also found, looking at 345,000 women over, I can't remember the exact length of time, again, no association between consumption of saturated fats and heart disease.
No association. Oh, strike me. Okay.
And, you know, I think the problem is so many people are so wedded to the idea that low-fat is healthy. And this is, it comes from, look, you know, if we had a, a couple of hours, Ed, we could go through a lot of fascinating history. But essentially, it comes from the work of a physiologist by the name of Ansel Keys in the late 50s and 60s, who developed the theory about saturated fats, cholesterol, and heart disease. And like a lot of theories, it took off, notwithstanding there were a lot of critics, and people said, look, the original work was a little bit flawed in that he studied 22 countries but only published results for the six where the results matched his hypothesis.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. You wouldn't think this sort of stuff goes on, but, you know, there it is.
Okay.
And if you put back the other 16, so if you look at a study of 22 countries rather than six countries, what was a nice straight line or reasonably straight line between fat consumption and heart disease disappears. It's no longer a line. It's just a series of dots. So there were critics of him at the time, but from when you read again that the story about Keys, he was a very forceful personality. He was quite domineering. He was quite passionate about his beliefs. And he pretty much trampled on anybody who opposed him. So one by one, the critics either got shouted down or they sort of started to lose their tenures at university or they just gave up. But the fact that he's a forceful personality doesn't of itself make him right.
Right. Okay.
That's a fascinating story.
Yeah, that is good. Look, let's get to our takeaway info here. Fats is probably the umbrella term that has people worried and they don't know what's a good fat, what's a bad fat. What are the goodies? What fats should we embrace?
Well, first thing is that we don't need to be scared of fats. And the American Food Administration 2 years ago pretty much said as much as well. Here we haven't caught up. Avocado is excellent. I know that sometimes it's a bit expensive, so it's not for everybody. Olive oil is an excellent form of fat. But coconut oil it has a bad rap, but it's a reasonable form, particularly for people if they want to cook and they are sensitive to dairy. And full-fat dairy products are fine. I think whenever you have a low-fat product, read the label and see how much sugar is in it. And generally, there's more than the full-fat variety. So, look, people have to look at their own circumstances. So, obviously, it's taste-dependent. But by and large, we don't need to be scared of fats. And the other great thing, Ed, is if we have more fats in our diet, we don't feel as hungry. So we actually don't eat as much. And that's the key to this, that you don't feel as hungry, you don't eat as much, and that's where the weight starts to come off. Plus, there's a whole lot of other metabolic factors. So it's a fascinating tale. I'd advise everybody to watch this space closely.
Yes, okay. Low fat is not your friend. Some fats are foes, and they're the saturated ones. Where do we find them lurking in our daily foods?
Saturated fats, probably the worst sort of fat are the trans fats. And in America, they've taken real steps to make it harder. In fact, in some instances, trans fats are almost banned and they have to be labelled. Here, they're not. So the trans fats are the ones to avoid. Saturated fats, I don't think one needs to be as scared of. I think that's part of the take-home message from this PURE study, that you can have butter on your toast. It's probably better for you than margarine. You can have full-fat milk. You can have full-fat yogurt. It isn't a problem. And again, people's cases are different. You have to look at your own circumstances. But really what this major study is telling us is that we don't need to be scared of saturated fats.
Great heads up, Dr. Joe. As always, nice to chat to you, mate.
Good on you, Ed.
Don't say low fat again. We don't have that sort of language on the radio. Thanks, mate. drjoe.net.au is his perfect website to find out a little bit more.